In optimal health. Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Welcome to the Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and such a true, exciting privilege to be here today and to share with you all today. I'm very excited because my guest is in studio. I get very excited when people come and see me. It's the ancient lost art of radio, in-person radio. So here's my suggestion for you today. If you have in any reason, any way that you are feeling sorry for yourself right now, if you're having setbacks, if you are depressed, if you're going through any type of reason where you're feeling like you can't do something, this show is going to be for you because this is a story of perseverance. It's against all odds. It's a dedication. It's scaling the unscalable. That's what I believe that Peter Manning Robinson does. He is an amazing musician, first of all, and genius. He is an acclaimed Emmy and multiple BMI winning composer, but it wasn't always this way. Peter had he developed severe tendonitis in his wrist that prevented him from doing his music that he had been successfully, incredibly, ingeniously doing for so long, and it stopped him from touring for 15 years. But he didn't use that as an excuse. He didn't give up hope. He went into action, somehow created, which we're going to find out the story of, a mentor, and the rest of it is kind of miraculous. And it all takes who you're being. So welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Lisa.
And you have such a beautiful side to you that really combines spirituality and music and your mind. It's all the same thing. Body, right?
Absolutely. One reason I've loved your show so much is that the word aware, yeah, you know, that symbolizes for me so much my journey. Just tell you a little bit. I started with, let us say, somewhat traumatic childhood. So I'm living on the streets when I'm very young.
Wow.
And as you know very well, when you have childhood trauma, you're basically in survival mode. Mm-hmm. You know, your limbic brain is acting, but not a whole lot else. At the same time, I'm giving this incredible gift. You can play the piano. You can make music. So I was playing since I was 3 and touring since I was 12. By the time I hit my early 20s, due to how I was playing, I developed this severe case of tendonitis. Now, within 2 years, I could only play for 2 minutes, and that was it.
Oh, because it was so painful?
Well, when you have tendonitis of that caliber, literally the hands just cramp.
Oof. And the way that you were playing was very intense?
That's part of it, but let me liken it to any other athletic endeavor, okay? So let's say you're doing yoga, all right? Well, where do you start the yoga? You start from your core, mm-hmm, right? So the largest muscles now help the smaller muscles, help the smaller muscles, help the smallest muscle, okay? Mm-hmm. Now we take playing the piano, okay? So it is completely antithetical to any other thing the way the traditional piano technique is. Fingers, fingers, fingers. Okay, so now you're taking the smallest muscle. Mm-hmm. Now you're trying to pull a bigger muscle, bigger muscle, bigger muscle. So the bigger, by the time you get to the biggest muscles, they're going, well, you don't need me, so screw it. I'm not going to be used. Mm-hmm. Now you've got this little thing, this cavity, this wrist, okay? Mm-hmm. So in this really small cavity, you've got 47 tendons and ligaments that are all going through it. So now all those tendons and ligaments are going, ouch, 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 that hurts, that hurts. Okay, well, we're rubbing against each other. Well, we're going to get inflamed, and now we're just going to stop working. And so that's why so many people who are on computers, who haven't been trained properly, so many athletes, so many pianists and guitarists, they go through this. So I didn't know. You know, I was taught a very legitimate classical piano technique, but I blew out my hands, and this lasted for over a decade.
Wow. Well, let me just go back to the living on the streets part. That's a big piece that's missing here for me. Why did you wind up there and also get trained in classical piano?
So without going into the nature of the trauma, I had to leave the house. Mm. Okay, and you can fill in the mm-hmm. blanks. Okay, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I simply couldn't be there mm. and survive.
Okay.
So on one level, my mother was incredibly giving in that she introduced me to this piano. They got a piano. I sat down at the piano when I was 3 years old and said, oh, I've done this before, and I just started playing.
Really?
Right. So on one level, there's an element of destruction, and then there's an element of love and rebuilding. But I had to get out of there. And because of the sexual stuff that was going on. So now I'm on the streets. But again, you know, I call them angels. You can call them whatever you want. But these very large African-American people with horrible habits saw me as this guy that needed help. And so although they were shooting terrible stuffs into their vein, they saying, don't you do that. And they took care of me. And so I've always had, you know, the term straight edge, you know, which means no drugs, no alcohol, mm-hmm. none of that. So I've always lived that way. But I was protected in this weird little environment.
Wow. Guided, looked
yes.
after.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then how did you get to the piano? How did that gift come about in that environment?
So at that point, I was already touring, and so a lot of the people that were helping me when I wasn't on the streets, they were musicians, and I was getting gigs and tours and all of that. So I didn't at that time this concept appreciation, you know, I didn't understand that at all. I was just trying to get from one day to another, mm-hmm. and then let me play the piano, and I can escape through all of this. Mm-hmm. Well, when now I get my tendonitis, and now I can't play again, and like – so my identity, my ego, all of that – which was wrapped up in being able to play faster, stranger, weirder, and all of that, as opposed to how can I create something of value? How can I create something that is beautiful and move people?
You were still in survival mode.
Right. I was
piano.
Still in survival mode. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. After about a decade, you know, I had discovered enough to start realizing that your thoughts and your actions become one. And then you start finding out that, well, there are your thoughts that you think you have, and then there are the subliminal thoughts and all of the things that you talk about constantly.
Yeah.
So I made a cause into the universe. I said, I need this to change. And that's when I met this guy in Montreal named Phil Cohen. And at that time, he was the artistic director of a organization in Montreal that was called the Leonardo Project. And they took scientists, musicians, teachers, and they all combined them together in working with people who would have unique performance issues. Okay, so the nature of my music has always been very uncommon. You know, it's combining all kinds of different disciplines. I played piano with mallets and inside the piano, all these different things.
Yeah.
So he heard me play for my 2 minutes, and he said, okay, I'll have you back playing in 6 months, but you have to unlearn everything you know about the piano. Okay, so now remember, I'm still sort of in survival mode, and I'm listening to this guy who I don't even know say this. So my head started saying, are you crazy? Uh-huh. What is wrong with you? But then my heart took over.
Oh, it did. So when you had that thought that your thoughts really have to be able to control your physiology, where did that come from? Because that's not a normal thought. Having that, knowing, even having that knowledge is rare.
I always say that, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
when one creates, mm-hmm. you're communicating with God,
mm-hmm.
okay? Mm-hmm. And somehow, you know, whatever he, she, it is mm-hmm. inside of you, up there, all that, it connects.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember playing at one point and saying, huh, if I keep thinking I'm not going to play, I won't be able to play. Let's look at it a different way. Let's say, no, I am going to play again,
yeah.
and now what do I have to do? Then you start finding out about food. Then you start finding about herbs. Mm-hmm. Then you start finding about energy. You know, then you find Qigong and yoga and energy work. And then I met this guy. And so it took considerably longer than 6 months, but I'm back playing and I believe better than ever. And so in my concert that I'm doing this Saturday, it's not just a concert. I play. I have this fantastic visual artist who improvises with me. But then I talk and I speak about some of my experiences. And it's about a journey, you know, like yeah. We all have journeys.
This is absolutely incredible. I mean, you use the beautiful art of combining your mind to overcome the matter, overcome the challenge, and that vibrationally set you up to meet mentor after mentor after mentor. And you had to be ready, though. You had to be the student. You had to be mentally able to accept that type of vibration to come into your life.
That's such an astute thing to say, because if I look back, and this isn't about regret, it's just occasionally, you know, they talk about if a man walks up Mount Fuji for 5 miles, if he stops at the fourth, he never sees the sunset. Mm-hmm. You know, but if he looks back for just an instant, he sees how far he's come. Mm-hmm. So when I look back for just an instant, I see so many times when, you know, there's that knock on the door from spirit saying, hey, what about this? Mm. But you can't see it. Then when you're ready, then you become
right.
a little bit more aware. Then you become a little bit more
yeah.
aware.
Yeah, you've been given this incredible gift, and you didn't throw it away. You didn't.
Oh, no.
And you could have many times thrown it away. Many times.
That's true.
And you were faced with, okay, you want to throw it away now? You want to throw it away now? You want to throw it, and you just didn't. And that is an amazing gift that you looked at, and you just kept going. And anyone who is being handed on a silver platter lessons or whatever it is, I mean, listen to Peter's story. We're going to listen to his music. But his story precedes his music. And I love that you created this refractor piano. So what we're about to listen to, and I mean, how did you even create this piano? What is a refractor piano?
Okay. So
and thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for listening. So there's this principle in science. It's called refraction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're familiar with it, right? So for those who are not, you take a wave. It can be a light. It mm-hmm. can be sound. Now it goes through a prism. Okay,
mm-hmm.
That prism bends it or morphs it. The light going in is exactly the same. Coming out, it's been changed. Okay? Example of that is you take a flower. Now look at the flower through a prism or put it in a glass bowl. Flower hasn't changed, but how you perceive it and what comes out has changed.
Mm.
So as you know, technology has been accelerating at not even a linear rate, at a logarithmic rate. And so the moment I start hearing anything that is even remotely connected with what I do, I say, okay, great, I'm going to do something else. So about 10 years ago, I said, all right, what do I do that's different than everybody else on the planet, but now how can I change that? Well, I played piano differently than anybody else, but I also have these chops as an engineer, as a composer, as a programmer. So I started building this instrument. Mm. And so everything that you're about to hear is totally live. There's no editing. There's no overdubbing. There's no virtual instruments. There's no synths or samplers. It's simply an acoustic piano that is being refracted.
Mm, and I saw this on YouTube also. It's quite phenomenal to watch with the visual, and it is so spectacular. I want to play a clip of this, and this is, again, Peter Manning Robinson. I want you to check his name out on YouTube. This one is called Jaguar Dreams. Is that what this is called? Very cool. Just listen to this. Close your eyes and absorb this sound. Thank you. So that right there, you're reaching up inside of the strings of the piano.
Yes. And sometimes I play with my hands, all different ideas. Sometimes I'll play with mallets. Sometimes I will use all kinds of different objects inside.
Drumsticks, I saw.
Yeah. It's all...
So you're using the actual physical piano, but it's inside. Are there snares or something?
No. This is what I'm saying. This is all the physical refraction process that I and this guy that I work with, Klaus Hoek, who's the co-developer of this, came up with. So there's nothing else inside the piano. I'm just creating these sounds through my invention.
Oh my God, you're kidding. I thought for sure there were drums in there.
No. That's what's so cool about this thing. Like some pieces
you tell from the video.
Yeah, some pieces you listen to and you'll think, "Oh my God, there's voices and there's percussion and there's all these things. How the heck is this guy doing it?" And I say, "Don't worry about how I'm doing it. Just, you know, just listen and just feel."
Yeah.
And for me, that's the essence of music, you know, which is
transformational.
Correct.
In that moment, expanding, as I said, scaling the unscalable. A friend of mine uses that all the time. And so I have a couple stories I want to tell you. But first of all, Peter is performing this Saturday.
Saturday night.
Saturday. And it's on May 6th at the Vortex.
It's called the Vortex Immersion Dome.
Where is that?
It's close to downtown. It's in a group of theaters. It's an actual geodesic dome.
Uh-huh.
And so it'll be very interesting to perform there. You're actually in the center.
It's so cool.
And the guy that I work with, Klaus Hoek, that I mentioned to you, he directs and produces it and has helped with the software and does all kinds of stuff. And then we also have a wonderful visual artist, Hannah Kim, who's worked with a lot of theater groups in the San Francisco Philharmonic, and she's improvising visuals along with me.
Oh, and she does the graphics,
right.
The visuals. Oh,
and
cool.
It's a very interesting process how she and Klaus come up with it, in that if you think about most marriages between music and video, well, the music is accompanying the video.
Mm.
Well, in this case, it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. So we talk about the concept for the piece, and then Klaus and Hannah go off and they work on it. I never see anything until after the concert because I'm never playing to the video. They're playing to me. So they have to be able to improvise in the same way that I'm improvising.
That is really amazing. So you don't even see the graphic.
I never see anything.
You can't.
No.
Yeah. You're so involved.
Correct.
Does time go away when you're doing this? Are you outside of time?
Well, I never think of time in a linear sense anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that my teacher talks about that I think is true is that when I play, I'm more of a director in that things come in, but it's not like I'm not responsible. Mm. And so I get to move things and direct things and place things and shape things and morph these things while I'm playing. And what's so exciting about this instrument is that there are times when it's so unpredictable that you have no idea what's going to happen. But for the audience, they don't care about that. They want to hear a wonderful piece of music. So you're constantly in the present. You can't be in the past. You can't be thinking about the future. You must be right in the moment.
You have to be. And tickets for this, they're only $20, which is amazing, but it's sold out for this Saturday. But you can go to Facebook 360 Degrees, and it's a virtual reality live session.
If you go to my Facebook page, Peter Manning Robinson of Facebook,
mm-hmm. cool.
and you'll see a video, it'll say live. Mm-hmm. You click on the video at 7:30 Saturday evening,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll see it. And I think we are giving away a couple of tickets.
Yes, you are. You're giving away two tickets, which is really super cool. Call us 818-985-KPFK. And you can get in this Saturday at 7:30 in downtown at the Vortex, which sounds so cool, this geodesic dome where you're in the middle of it. That just sounds like such a cool experience. Are you going to do this again, please?
I may do it again. Yes, that's the whole idea. You know,
yeah.
I just debuted this last year,
so
it's taken many lifetimes to get to this point, but it's starting to pick up a lot. And I leave right after this to go to Montreal to do another concert, and we'll be back, I'm sure, in the fall.
Can I ask you a random question? Have you ever been a student of Wayne Dyer's?
Never been a student of Wayne Dyer's. Certainly read much of his literature.
Had any other connection with him?
For me, Louise Hay, Wayne Dyer were incredibly important to me at a certain stage when I was just starting to figure out that life isn't just about the physical plane. You know, it's about all of these other things and spirits and thoughts. And for me, they were able to present it in such simple language that me, who would fight and try to be intellectual about all of this, no, here, a simple thought. What about this? What about this? And so... So
he was one of your kind of teachers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, as are you.
Can I tell you a story?
Please.
And I've shared this with my audience before, and it's got to be on some recording somewhere. After Wayne passed, a year or so ago, I was having these dreams of just out of the grief, asking, where are you? You know, where are you? And I got these beautiful visual pictures of being a sunset, like becoming a sunset.
Mm.
And being the colors as the colors change. And in this dream, so clear I can remember this, I kept hearing this word, refraction, refraction.
No.
Yeah. And I've shared this before on the air. And I kept hearing this word, refraction. I'm like, what is a refraction? I've never heard of that before. What is a refraction? I've heard of fractile or reflection, but what's
yes.
a refraction? And he showed me these little teeny prisms all over that when we ask a question and we think we're praying to the higher power, it's refracting back into us different perspectives of the answers, and we actually are reflecting back our own answers. We ask the question, it changes the way we perceive it and gives us back the answer.
Which, that is so beautiful.
Isn't it? What exactly what you...
That's right.
I mean, that's exactly...
I play. In many respects, I'm asking a question as I play, and these various answers are coming back to me in various forms. And now what do I do with them? And you have to be in the present to be able to do something with
yes.
it. Otherwise, it sounds horrible.
And that was what the essence and that word just kept coming in constantly, refraction, refraction. And then when I saw your material, I'm like, what? You do a refractor? And I just thought that. And when you explained it to me just now, it perfectly made sense with what universally what he was saying and how what you do is such a teachable moment as well. I mean, what you're doing with this instrument is refracting back different perspectives of the same thing. And it's such a very powerful moment, teaching moment.
So did you work with
Wayne Dyer? Oh, he was my mentor.
That's what I thought.
Yes,
yeah.
And he
yeah.
wrote the foreword to my book, but he was a huge influence in my life. He hosted my radio show when I was delivering my baby. I mean, he's really amazing friend, mentor, and I still believe I communicate with him.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. So that was the essence of it, because he left so shockingly, and I was really just trying to tune in, because we had a lot of conversations, he and I, about afterlife and what's it like out there, because I had a near-death experience, and we would share this other world outside of time all the time. We would talk about
yes.
it. It was always a question he would ask me, what's it like? You know what it's like. What's it like? Share it with me. Mm-hmm. And then when he did pass, I said, so what's it like? And I got that answer back so many different times. And it was really the fact that you've come up with this in the way that you've come up with it is such a beautiful combination of senses.
And then I get to hear the story from you.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's
Here.
You know, it's the symbiotic nature of where we are
when you
days.
Live, yes, and when you live in awareness, when you live in that constant inquiry and that perturbation of questioning and answering and communicating with the divine and being open and aware of the answers like you were.
Yes, and you.
Yeah, but that's why I was so interested in your story because I didn't know this story about you living in the streets and finding the right person and finding that those mentors and being protected by the people who you were living with on the streets. That is just really cool. Do you
yeah.
communicate with them anymore? Have you been able to find them?
Well, on the earth plane, they are extremely gone. They were, most of those people were using all kinds of substances that one should not be using. But I certainly, during my meditations, not only do I give thanks to them, but you never know who's going to pop in, you know?
Yeah.
It's sort of like this weird little party that all of a sudden, hey, haven't heard from you for a while. Okay, well, that's interesting. No kidding.
Yeah. You know?
And just like you, the messages all come in these wonderful mysteries, you know, which is like the Taoists say, you know, live in mystery. You know? And
who needs drugs? My goodness, when you can have these conversations.
To say the least.
So you also are a devout vegan, and you have given me this beautiful gift of this meringue that you made, which I am excited about. Tell me why you chose a vegan lifestyle.
All right. Let me start off by saying what I do and what everybody else does.
Yeah.
Please do not just see it as one person's story, and if it leads you to something, anything, that's great. But this is what works for me.
Okay.
So I, an ex-girlfriend of mine wanted to go to the San Diego Zoo. Okay. So, oh, God, a zoo. Well, all right, fine. So we go down to the zoo, and I'm waiting to get the tickets. And this chicken walks up. And I don't think I'm totally crazy. This chicken starts going, quack, 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 and starts talking to me. And I'm having this conversation. Yeah, well, what's happening? Quack. Well, God, you know, do you like it here? Well, you know, what do you do? Okay, that was it. So I could never look at a chicken the same way. I was like, well, I'm not going to kill you and now, like, eat you. You know, like, you've become sort of my friend. All right, so already, you know, people think I'm crazy.
That you tapped into the consciousness
of
the chicken. That's
right.
Awesome.
And then slowly I started reading about not only the economic and environmental repercussions of meat and all of that, but what it does to your body. And then I read this really old book by John Robbins called, right? And first of all,
America.
Yeah, so like this guy who was an heir to a multi-million-dollar fortune, it just happened to be Baskin Robbins ice cream, and he says, you know, I'm not really with this, so I'm out of here, and goes to Vancouver Island and, you know, lives for like nothing with his family. But then he starts coming up with all this research that nobody had really found out about. And I just found that when I'm living a plant-based existence, I'm vibrating on a higher level. Okay? Doesn't mean that everybody should do it. It doesn't mean that, you know, I will never eat another piece of meat or fish. It's just this was what works.
Yeah.
And
that's great.
Yeah.
So that it resonates with your body. It probably allows the channeling of the music to come through you as a pure vessel.
Absolutely. When I get extremely run down and all of my herbs and protein powders and all that, sometimes I will eat a little bit of fish, do my prayer and all of that. But for the most part, you know, I grow a lot of my own food. I pretty much cook everything. I grow my own herbs, cook for my friends. I mean, it's part of what I do. It's like my house, my studio, it's one big laboratory, and they all kind of mix together.
Oh, how fun.
You know.
What a fun existence.
Yeah, so I'll be coming up with a new recipe, and now all of a sudden, like, oh, my God, I got to get to the piano, you know. or I'll be running in the hills. I do a lot of trail running, and all of a sudden it's like, ooh, I just heard that bird. That's a piece, you know. And it's just that's how I live my life, you know.
Connected.
It's all just kind of one. Yeah, connected.
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 That is fun. Can I come play? Because that sounds like so
absolutely.
Much fun.
Yeah, sure.
I want to run with you and then cook.
Absolutely.
That sounds so fun. Your music is a blessing. Thank you for being who you are and for being an example of a clear channel who has been through massive tragedy, but you don't carry it on you as your wound. You have allowed it to move through you, and your gifts are incredible. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, and this program has been very meaningful to me.
Oh.
You know, I've listened to it for a long time.
I was shocked when you said that. That is so cool because, yes, I love the people. Every time I come in here and I get to speak with incredible people, I'm so blessed. And the Joe Dispenzas and Wayne Dyers and all these great neuroscientists, because that's my thing. And it's so wonderful to know that you have been impacted by the messages. Thank you.
I'm not sure that I'm a completely clear channel. I'm becoming, as you would say, more aware every day.
It's always a journey.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole point. If you can do that and live in the city, yeah, you could do it on a mountaintop.
Absolutely.
All right. Wow. Well, thank you again, Peter Manning Robinson. If you check out his Facebook page, you can watch the concert live. You can go check it out on YouTube, some of his music. And the next time you have a concert, let us know.
Absolutely.
Or there's a website we could check.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go to petermanningrobinson.com or my Facebook page or all the other stuff. And please hit me up. Send me an email. You know, let me know what you think.
Thank you. Thank you so much. A true, true pleasure. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to The Aware Show.